Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time, 6 till 8 Eastern, and of course 5 till 7 Central. In New Zealand, it will be live on American Freedom Radio 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. And when the United States switches over to daylight savings time on November the 4th, the following being November the 5th, remember the 5th of November, ladies and gentlemen, because the local New Zealand time will be changing to midday till 2 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. So a little bit of advice for those who are listening live. We want to talk about some articles today, and two articles completely unrelated. First article, cannibal cop planned to cook and eat woman. And the other article is trust in police despite bungles. Now, these are totally unrelated. I just thought that was funny. So trust in police despite bungles. Police still have the trust and confidence of the public despite blows to their reputation over cases like the undercover operation against the Red Devils gang, Deputy Police Commissioner Mike Bush says. Have you ever noticed that the authority figures can never be trusted? Constantly, deliberately destroy stuff, including their own reputations, and consistently ask us to continue to trust them while they beat us over the head with a billy club. Police were this week on the receiving end of a stinging high court ruling which found they breached the court process by faking the prosecution of an undercover officer to protect his cover as he infiltrated the Nelson gang. This is something that happened back in the 70s and 80s, I believe. A man named Patrick McMurphy or something testified that he had been encouraged by his handlers as an undercover officer, one of the most decorated undercover officers in New Zealand history, to lie and in order to get convictions. And he got well over 100 convictions during his undercover career based on those lies. For instance, were you in the proximity of the drug dealer when he was smoking marijuana and selling marijuana? Yes. Were you also smoking that marijuana? No. That was the lie. Because as soon as you say that I was the one taking drugs as well, then the prosecution can say that your evidence is inadmissible. Oh, he was on drugs. We can't trust his testimony. And so hence the police are schooled to lie, so that they can get those convictions unlawfully. Justice Simon France's ruling has seen drug and other charges against 21 members of the gang and associates thrown out of court, although police may appeal. And this is something I've also become conscious of, is that the police work with gangs. And if the gang decides that they don't want to work with the police, then they start to have problems. There was an incident in Australia one of my listeners told me about, where a couple of police walked right into a gang headquarters, stood them over, and said, give us your meth or we're going to bust you. So they gave them the 10 grand worth of meth, and then they took it across the road to a competing gang, sold it for them, and then took the cash. Whoa. That kind of changes things, doesn't it? Are the police really the gang, criminal, drug-running scum of your countries? You betcha. In some cases, most police officers don't have any idea that this is going on. My friend Grace Hayden from verisure.co.nz, who went into private verification and private security, private detective, etc., after being a 15-year veteran as a police prosecuting sergeant in court. And she told me the New Zealand police are so corrupt, you will either become corrupt or you will leave. Police last night said they would reassess aspects, quote-unquote, of the undercover operation after the judgment, which found they committed a, quote, fraud against the courts. If the police are willing to lie to you, the citizen, in order to enforce a fraudulent drug law, what say they don't also lie to the courts and fraud them too? The drug laws in themselves, the drug war in itself, while maybe not being the most expensive of fiscal policies, is one of the clearly most failed policies when you have illegal substances and public servants responsible for regulating said substances rather than a proper regulated market. Instead, it becomes an unregulated black market, and the possibility for corruption therein is very, very high because you have liquid, untraceable cash. That's what drugs become when they are made illegal. They turn into a cash commodity, an extremely profitable business. This is why drug dealers are popping up all over the place, because it requires very little input and not a whole lot of cost involved, and you can make a decent amount of money off of drug dealing if you know how to do it properly. And police and CIA routinely get caught trafficking said substances and using the money for black ops, bribes, etc. Mr. Bush, I love the correlation here, especially for the American audience, today accepted cases like the undercover operation, the Uruwera raids, and the Kim.com prosecution had an impact on police's reputation. These do impact, but we'd like to make sure that it's put in perspective, he told Radio New Zealand. Here's me putting it in perspective for you. Anybody heard of the Uruwera raids? Dig this. If you're an American, you'll love this because it happens to patriots all the time. With the Department of Homeland Security busting into your house for no freaking reason because you put something on the website or whatever. And what happens is they bust in, arrest you, destroy your life based on nothing, and then eventually you get let out after being held in prison for goodness knows how long. And the whole intention is not necessarily just to bust you, but to scare the living frickin' daylights out of you so that you'll stop doing what you're doing. Also, to publicize said activity so other people who are of similar mind would look upon this incident and think to themselves, that could be me, unless I stop doing what I'm doing. And sure enough, many people stop doing the right thing because they fear the wrong thing being done to them by those whom are supposed to be enforcing law, order, and justice. The Uruwera raids are a very interesting incident. On that day that these raids happen, this is a small little area of New Zealand in a province called Tūhoe. Tūhoe are the only tribe who would not bow to the crown in New Zealand's history. They are the only piece of land and the only iwi, the only whenua, that did not wish to be part of the crown set-up agency. They did not want to be colonized. And as a direct result, they got demonized and ruthlessly crushed. And this is more like a repeat of history, because we had a Maori activist named Tame Iti and a number of others who were participating in a quote-unquote military-style training camp Has anybody ever heard of a militia in the United States? You know, how they're perfectly legal and they're guaranteed under the Constitution. And the reason why you have militias is not so if your country gets invaded per se by foreigners, but more if your government turns tyrannical and uses force against its own citizenry. You do need to have comparable, if not better, weaponry and training than the forces that would wish to suppress you in order to resist them. This is what I believe was going on here. I've had Tamaiti on the show a number of times. He's fully aware of the New World Order, and this is the reason why they were doing all this training. They would never attack the government. They would never take innocent life. They were only doing it, in my opinion, as a preparation for what they understand is going to be a global police state civil war if this is not stopped in the first place. A contingency, if you will. And Tamaiti is an older fellow. He paints in his garage with his grandchildren. Had the police simply come up and knocked on his door and said, "Bro, what's this training camp about?" He would have told them absolutely everything they wanted to know, would have cooperated fully. But instead, the police spend an extraordinarily large amount of money, more than any other operation in New Zealand history, in order to surveil the small town where Tamaiti was living, the nearly 2,000 people, in order to place security cameras in the bush surrounding the training camp, collecting information and data and footage for a year, 2 years plus. Totally illegal. You can't surveil people like that. It's called an invasion of privacy. And the government, I feel, felt threatened by the fact that people would be soon capable of defending themselves against their tyrannical onslaught. So they decided to do a little test run, and they coordinated it with 28 other countries and a number of different agencies and outlets of the New Zealand police around the country. And activists, people like Tamaiti, people in Greenpeace, people in animal rights welfare activism, and a number of other people, anybody who was politically involved who was making waves, got raided at dawn. They had men with black ski masks and giant rifles with laser sights pointed at their children's heads. They bashed through their front doors of their rented accommodation with giant pulverizing, door-shattering pole devices. They freak everybody out. They yell. They scream. They gave no warning. And they arrested many innocent families, got their children to kneel down on the sidewalk in the middle of the morning, cold and afraid, with guns pointed at their heads. They called them the terror raids for a reason. This article here calls them the Uruwera raids. Among people, they were called the terror raids because it became clear on that day that it is the police and the government who are the terrorists indeed. The word terrorism is a political definition. Capitalism, fascism, communism, terrorism. Communism is defined by a ruling system for the community. Capitalism is a ruling system controlled by capital. And terrorism is a ruling system controlled by terror, fear, extortion, intimidation, in order to coerce the public into doing the will of the government. This is what happens here. On top of that, Kim.com, famed internet sensation, responsible for NiggerUpload.com, who signed the Black Eyed Peas and was going to give major record artists like the Black Eyed Peas a 60% cut of their album sales as opposed to the average, which is about 2% from the major record labels. And then, after the this is my contention, after the major record labels found out that Kim.com was going to be threatening their business, they got the FBI involved in New Zealand, and they raided his house with 70 cops, guns drawn and everything like that, just like the terror raids. And the day previously, one cop had turned up, and Kim had invited him in, showed him all the way around, showed him their panic room, showed him their guns that were all legal, showed him everything. That was all they needed to do, was just knock on the door. And then the next day, after the police officer had been nicely shown around by Mr. Kim.com and shown all his weaknesses and all of his operations, and knowing that nothing was going on, 70 cops descend upon this mansion with helicopters and cars and guns. A man who opened the door for them the day previously to say hi with a big smile, have a look around. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.